There'll come a time when your kids will fly the coop, and you'll have nothing left to do.
Hey everybody, Jill Whelan here.
And Leah Mango.
And welcome back to Empty Nesters. We are here with an amazing, amazing guest. Her name is Sunny Keckner. She is a spiritual teacher and also an empowerment coach. And, you know,
and amazing postings on Instagram. Like, I am addicted. I am a huge fan.
Yeah, so we're so excited
to have you here.
Well, thank you, ladies. What a great introduction. And I'm tickled pink to know I have a fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
There you go. Fantastic.
I've been obsessed, and I'm kidding. Like, the last five, I started doing research on you, and then I just couldn't stop watching. So the last 5 nights, I've gone to sleep with you every night.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it.
There you go.
Good. You know, one of the things that I love about having you here today is because I think we're all sort of in the same season of life with our kids, who are, because it's about the title of the show, which is Empty Nesters,
right?
Which is about that we're all trying to figure out what Act Two is. And to have an empowerment coach and a spiritual teacher, I think, is a great thing for all of us because we need some guidance.
We need help. And we need help getting through. And you have 5 children.
Yes,
which,
I do.
I mean, I have 2 children.
So you have a proven record.
Yes.
I can say that I'm a parenting expert.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, it's so funny because people are like, are you an expert? Are you an author? Like, what do you do? We need a title from you.
Right.
You know, to be someone. And I looked up expert and it says that you're very knowledgeable in a field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with my 5 kids and they're all completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. And I say that like on the huge spectrum of struggles and angels, like, you know what I mean? Just like so much that goes on.
And going through it at different times and you can't control who's going through what and you have to adapt and adjust. I can't imagine.
I think what you have to do, one of the mistakes that we all make as parents, if we choose to have more than one child, is we make an assumption that we're going to parent them all the same because they're going to, you know, they come from us. So they're all going to be kind of the same.
Yeah.
And that is not true.
It is furthest from the truth, right? Except most people, a lot of people don't even get that. They think I'm just parenting them. I'm the parent. This is how I do it.
Right.
Which is kind of a lot of times learned behaviors from our parents.
Yes. Right.
Thank God that we can wake up and break the patterns, right?
Yeah.
We didn't learn so much, but I think a lot of parents do think I'm the parent. This is how it is. These are my rules and I'm going to parent you the same. And I think it's having an awareness, like you're having this awareness that they're actually different human beings.
Right.
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 And for me, I know with my first, I went in going, this is how I'm going to parent. And this is, and I listened to my pediatrician tell me how I'm supposed to do it and get them involved in sports. And everything that I heard and believed was not true for him.
Right.
So it was trying to fit this mold of what I thought a mom was, and this is what I do, and I get him suited up, and I take him to team sports, because that's where they learn to interact with others, right? And it didn't fit for my son.
Right.
He was not a sports guy. It was traumatic for him. I would fight to get his outfits on, fight to drag him to show up at the game.
Right.
And none of it felt right. Yeah. But my guys, the pediatrician had been pediatricianing for 40 years.
How many kids did he have?
I
was curious.
I don't know if I ever asked.
You never know.
He,
it's not going so well with kids. But
the thing that they tell you, back then I didn't know to take it with a grain of salt or to see if it works.
Right.
I just was like, this is what the guy says. It's my first freaking time. I don't know what to do. Get your outfit on.
Yeah,
but it was just traumatizing for both of us.
You know, what's interesting as you're talking, I sort of had a little bit of an epiphany, aha moment, which is I have a son who had learning differences. And that way that we were expecting to attack parenting is the same way that the educational system for so many years, now it's starting to get better, pigeonholed all kids. This is the way we teach, and you're going to have to conform to that way.
And testing.
And testing.
Well, thank goodness that's changing.
Right. Yeah. But it's so true. I mean, that as a society is something that I think as pet mothers specifically, we need to be more vocal about to make it even more known that you can't parent everybody the same. You can't teach everybody the same.
You know, in our educational system, it's a great point. The way that we teach here in America is you sit in a desk, you keep your mouth shut, You memorize other people's words at work, and the best memorizer wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Which is opposite of who we really are.
Right.
It's like, what right. lights you up? What do you, what turns you on? Let's follow that.
Right.
Like, if I could rearrange our educational system, it would be like spinning the first, you know, when you get the book, what you expect when you're expecting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it talks about how to burp and swaddle.
Right. Is there a new book? There's got to be a new book by now. If so, I think you need to.
No. I just read that book and it tells you how to, you can learn how to change a diaper. Yeah. You just ask someone, right?
Right. Right.
But really to say, look at your kid. What is your kid? Does it contract from light or noise is overwhelming?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like, what, you know, what lights your kid up, and start making notes of that in a baby book.
Right.
So by the time they do go for 6 years of logging what brings them joy.
Right.
You know, because our childhoods kind of set us up for what we're here to do.
Exactly.
And when we're have free time and we can play and do all that stuff, we really see where we like to spend our time.
Yeah.
We don't focus on any of that. Shut up, sit still, memorize.
And
shut
if you
up,
don't, still memorize. That.
Yes.
Right. Or you're dumb.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting as well, because I have kids, I have two kids, I think, with learning differences. And when I took my first son to get diagnosed, because I was like, what the hell's going on? Everyone else is like having their first kid and having a blast and going out to dinner all the time and parties. Right. I'm struggling with you know?
Right.
And I remember taking him to get assessed for like ADD and all the different things.
Right.
And when I was taking the test for ADD for him, I was like, I'm yes for every answer, too.
Yeah,
me too.
Exactly.
And I screamed to the doctor, I'm yes for every answer. Right. And she said, honey, we're here for your son. But we didn't do testing back then.
Yeah. And guess what? My mother is, too. And I'll give you a perfect example. It's my favorite story about my mom.
Uh-huh.
My son was sitting at her kitchen table one day, and she just looked at him, and she goes, listen. What? That. And my son looked at him and went, I don't know how to respond to that.
So wait, I missed something here. Because you said listen and then what?
That's what she said. She just got distracted.
ADD.
So she went, listen, squirrel. What? and so it is,
yes.
You know, it is transferred.
Yes.
It can be hereditary.
Yes.
Because I've got it. My brother's real with it.
I have it. My husband had it. But four of my kids have it. My husband.
I have two husbands.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Congratulations.
So, all right, let's move on to, I just want to get, before we get too far that way, I want to talk about, so for you now, because you have evolved and turned your life from just being mom into so many other incredible things. So how did that happen for you? What was that like for you?
It's very interesting you say that. I would like to eradicate the empty nest syndrome, but I wouldn't really, because then it would be
right.
This podcast. But what happens is...
But you're still in it. Like, I can't imagine this, but it's 13 to 25, right? As a span of
years.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So you're caught every couple of years, you're going through the empty nest feelings, but then you go
I'm actually
and
not.
You're still...
I'm actually not.
Really?
So here's why. And if I could give... advice to a new mom or even someone who's thinking about getting pregnant.
Right.
What do you love? What lights you up? What do you do in your spare time? Do you work? Whatever.
Right.
Know that.
Mm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a child, what happens so often with women is when they have a kid, they abandon themselves. Mm-hmm. They get off their back and they focus all of their attention on the kid.
Right.
I am this kid's mom. This is my purpose.
You just don't want to mess up. The thing is,
did you know what lit you up before you became a parent?
I want to say that the kid is here for their own path. We're here for our own. And the minute we enmesh that our whole life is our kid,
right?
It's a disservice to our path, who we are, to fulfill ourselves, and disservice to them because they're getting all of our shit on top of them when they're just trying to figure out who they are.
And you knew this when you had your first child.
Well, so I was...
That's phenomenal.
I don't know if I knew it.
Right.
But I'm a really different human being. I'm wired different. I'm kind of odd. And for me with my kids, it was more like, oh, wow, I had this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? You know, like I remember saying, I just want to be a stay-at-home mom. I just want to be a stay-at-home mom. That's all I thought because I hated my job.
Right.
And so by the time I met my ex, I was like, can I quit my job? And he's like, well, maybe, you know, after we get married, if I work it, because he's an actor.
Right.
And then it's like, can I quit my job? And like, I'm pregnant. Can I quit my job? And finally, I was like, I just want to be stay-at-home mom. Can I quit my
what
job?
What was your job? I have to know what your job was.
Well, I was working in post-production in an office.
Right.
And I was suffocating. So I was like, I would go in there and go. I was like, good morning. I'm like, is it?
Right.
So anyway, when I
had for figuring that out,
I got to stay home, right? And I thought I just wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, which, and I'm not saying just good or bad, and I have no judgment on what anyone does.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Then I got there, and I'm sitting there in my coveralls because that's all I could fit into, and all my friends are still at work and having lunches and going out after, and I'm sitting with this blob who can't do anything except for eat, poop.
And cry.
And cry. And sleep. And then I'm sitting there in my coveralls just staring at this block going, what's happened?
Right.
Like, this is it?
Right.
And then just breastfeeding and sleeping. You know what I mean? It was just this like, what have I done? I'm so isolated. I'm out of the fight. I'm out of it. And I remember just going, I'm going to write a one-woman show.
Oh, wow.
So literally my husband came in, who's an actor, and I said, hey, he said, oh, Lee, the show's on at 8 p.m. Come in and watch our show. And I said, I'm writing every night at 8 p.m. And he was like, you're writing what?
Right.
And I go, I'm writing a one-woman show. And he goes, who are you? You told me you wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Now you're writing a show? And I go, yeah. I thought I wanted to be stay-at-home mom until I'm here.
Right.
Now I feel like I need to. So I have this creative drive always in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been helping people and sharing my mess and showing kind of the tools to get out and feel happy. So I've been doing that as I was parenting, as opposed to.
So you don't feel that.
You are my life. You're my everything.
Yeah.
I'm off of myself and onto you.
Right. Right.
Which, and Carl Jung, who's one of my greatest philosophers or psychologists, I can't remember what he was. But anyway, he said that the greatest disservice to a child is the unlived life of the parent.
Oh my God, that's so true.
That is.
So the minute you're off, you're modeling for them.
Right.
And
right.
But we're not, and I constantly have to remind myself and my kids of this. They look to us as the authority, and I have to sometimes say, look, this is my first time parenting, you know, a 29-year-old. This is my first time parenting a 19-year-old. I'm trying to figure it out as best I can as you are.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I think it's beautiful that you say that.
Right.
Because when we pretend that we know, everyone's screwed.
Right.
In any job, in any
I was going to say, do you respect any boss who acts like they know and you know damn well they don't know?
Yeah.
No. You'd rather have a boss say, look, I don't know, but let's figure this out together.
That's the beauty of it. I think with parenting, it's we think we have to be this and show our kids. No,
right.
We have to be who we are. We have to be vulnerable.
They have to show be yourself. That's what
they want. How to be authentic.
Yeah.
So what is your biggest tip for people that are in our stage of life? If they didn't realize before that they're...
If they put all their eggs in their kids' basket.
Yeah. Then what happens?
Well, if you put all your eggs in your kids' basket...
let's do.
It's always the perfect time to do your next step wherever the hell you are.
Right.
So if you are and you put your eggs in the basket and you're feeling great upset or nervousness or whatever because your security blanket, right?
Right.
A lot of times we can lose ourselves at our children.
Sure.
I can't do anything because I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, shoot, that's leaving. Now I'm just stuck with this. I have no excuses to be me.
Right.
It's to be tender with yourself, you know, and to have some self-exploration and allow
yourself. Spirituality, has that helped you through a lot of this?
Spirituality. I was going to say also just to that finishing that thought is allowing yourself to grieve, allowing yourself to go, well, I did put all my eggs in their basket and I did the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's how I showed love. I got off track on showing myself that, you know, and it's kind of that coming home. It's like they're going out of the home. You can allow the parent who's kind of really feeling lost to come home to themselves.
Right.
And to all the energy and the nurturing and the focus they gave to the kid, they can start giving to themselves. Mm-hmm. And kind of when you start doing that, self-love and taking care of yourself, when you're feeling upset, holding yourself or saying, I got you. I'm right here. You know, your true self to your human self. It's like immediately that starts to level you up and open you up.
Right.
Because you're no longer in this, what about me? Oh, no, they're going... that's this, mm-hmm. you know, right. and taking that love and being here for yourself, it kind of opens you and supports you on the transition to this new space, right. which is really an exciting place.
It's exciting.
Once you remove that guilt of feeling, oh my God, I'm nothing if I'm not this, then it opens up space and the door to.
That's right.
Think, well,
other things can come in.
Do I like blue or do I like pink? Do I?
Seriously. Yeah. I did this mastermind group with like 8 women and halfway through they came to my home for a 2-day intensive. Mm-hmm. And one girl's from Houston and she was an interior designer. Mm. And we did it in the back guest house thing that used to be Dave's office and whatever. And she's sitting there and at the end of the 2 days, she goes, can I ask you something? Now, what was your motivation for decorating this room? And I was like, no motivation. I said, this was Dave's office and that curtain, those curtains, I got a Bed Bath & Beyond and that one I put on backwards and I changed it. And she's like, now that he's gone, would you like to make this your space? Mm. But I've never thought of it. Right. And now it's my favorite place with my favorite colors. But I woke up to that by a suggestion because I had just been parenting, doing everything. And it's my space now. So right. it's kind of like that same thing with people. It's like, okay, feels you've been doing this. Now sit down. Do I like blue?
Yeah.
Why is this in my house? Yeah. Well, I can actually start doing that thing people talk about, only having things that bring you joy. Holy hell. You know what I mean? It's right. It is rather than this kind of like heaviness that they're leaving, it's this experience. I love to anything you feel it.
Right.
All
right.
of it.
Right.
Feel it, cry your eyes out, do it as long as you need to, and let it flow out of you. Don't hold any shit in. Don't try and be cool. Don't be, it's fine with me. Yeah. No, when people ask me how old are you,
I just did a play, and one of the lines in the play was, I've decided to feel things where I can get to feel something back. Mm-hmm. And that's,
say it again.
I've decided to feel things where I can get to feel something back.
What does that mean?
And it just made me think of what you just said, which was start to feel things. Start
so then you can receive, right?
So
then you
can receive. Oh, so I got it. You're not just feeling to do. You're right. open to it. Yeah.
And I feel like if That's we right. could do that mm-hmm. for our kids, then I bring the kids back in, but I think they would be more inspired
right.
to want to spend time with us because it wouldn't be out of duty. It would be out of, wow, this, I didn't know this part about my mom. Boy, she's really interesting. I've never seen that before.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. As opposed to, I gotta go over there because otherwise she's gonna cry and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's really interesting what our kids perceive and what they take away. And my ex had made this birthday video of me. At the end, the kids spoke. Mm-hmm. They said things about me. And I was like, oh, shit. because I'm a human.
Right.
And I have five kids. And there's,
it's like a book review.
And the things that they said were things that I thought they would be upset about. Like, I was not a helicopter mom. I hit the dates. I got into the places, but I wasn't over in their business. I was kind of just letting them do their thing. But other moms are all in and they're making everything perfect and they have desserts and platters out when their friends come. I never did any of that shit.
Right.
So I thought I always thought myself as kind of half a mom because I didn't do all the beautiful outdoor thing, you know, the things that show that you really care. Maybe, I don't know.
Is that what it means? It's also for the parents too.
Well, I mean, it's also an ego thing because I'm guilty of a little of that.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm half a mom. Yeah. Like when my kids would fall, I wouldn't run over. Oh my God. I would sit and watch them.
Right.
And see if they needed me. Let them have their experience. If they're bleeding, I'll go get them a Band-Aid. But I was kind of a little bit thought something's wrong with me because I'm missing that over thing. I'm just like almost observing them.
Right.
And so anyway, later, when they were saying these things, it was like, they said, tell me about your mom. But they all said she likes to fart. Which is, farting still to me is a hilarious thing.
I'm too.
So I all do it. And it's so embarrassing. If you try and pretend you didn't, somebody smells it. It's like, oh my God, you can go in there. So it's all made me laugh. So anyway, so they all mentioned that, which made me laugh. But then, like my daughter said, my mom's a spiritual teacher. She helps people. And they were, you know, it was 8 years ago, they were younger. And I was like, oh, wow, they see that. They saw that.
Right.
And then my son, Charlie, said, you know, my mom's overboard. She's always like the loudest. But actually, she's one of the coolest moms. And I'm proud of her son. And I was like, ooh. It's like all of these things I thought were bad because I wasn't all over. I wasn't super involved. I wasn't like running to help them.
Right.
Somehow they found good or saw something good in it.
Right.
You know, which really touched my heart because normally it's like when you're 30 and you have your own kids, you start to appreciate your parents.
Right. Yes.
So it was really cool, you know, to allow ourselves that we don't have to be all that.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to compare ourselves to other parents.
That's right.
What they're doing. Well, I know she's doing that. I should be doing that too because all the other parents are saying how cool that is.
Right.
And the kids that are saying it, it's the parents that are saying it.
So, and that's the craziest stuff for moms.
Why are you doing it?
Yeah. Comparison.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just
with empty nesting.
Yeah.
We're still doing it. Like, well, so-and-so's, she started a kombucha. What am I doing? I'm sitting here watching reruns of Below Deck. I don't know.
She started a kombucha company. It's so funny. It's so funny. And how our kids are being raised. I mean, I have one that's 13 still. So I have some that have graduated college.
Yeah.
And I have some that are about to graduate high school. It's so funny because people are like, are you so upset? You know, they're going. I was like, hell no.
Right.
I mean, the reality is they do a splash of their life with us.
Right. Yeah. Right.
18 years.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they're here till they're 90. The majority is in the world.
Right.
So it's like allowing moms the thought. I mean, I know this is empty nesters, right? So
unless
a mom like has one leaving and a newborn,
right.
It doesn't still apply, but just allowing the thought of they're not here long.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, take the pressure off. All I need to do is let them know they matter. I need to see and hear them.
Yeah.
And show them love and guide them.
Yeah.
That's really all I've got to do.
I wish I knew that when I had my kids.
It's not about hiring a private soccer coach. It's not about, you know, all of that stuff.
I did all of that.
I had somebody in my mother in my ear was like, well, you need to get him a basketball coach. I said, he doesn't like basketball.
Right.
Well, you should have all those things that you talked about, all those pressures.
Yeah, everyone else was doing it. So,
yeah.
You know, I just wanted to ask you, having so many kids, what is your best mom moment?
My best mom moments.
Wow. It's like you're such a fun household, too.
We had a very lively household. I think, wow, that's such an interesting question. I need an example of what's the best mom moment would be.
Well, you can't because you can't compare yourself to anybody
else. It's so
my best mom moment. It wasn't you. Her and I were in Cub Scouts together, and we were building a birdhouse, and we were failing in front of our kids, which I think was fabulous. And we were having the time of our lives, giggling our butts off, and our kids watching us fail. And it was like, it was okay. Like, it was completely fine. So I thought that for me, that was a great mom moment. And our kids were laughing harder than we were at us.
You know, that's so weird because I was trying to think like a mom moment, like seeing my child do something that was so beautiful.
Right.
That they're helping that person every night. But if you're saying it from that perspective, this was interesting too. During my divorce was the worst 6 years of my life because that was my beloved and he was struggling. And I was trying so hard to save him and help him and keep the kids together. I was so off my rocker. And I think one of the most memorable things for me as a mom, like you're talking that your kids got to see you fail and have fun.
Yeah.
Is that during this divorce when I tried so hard to keep it together, that one day I collapsed on my bed and something happened and it was so overwhelming. I collapsed on my bed and was bawling this guttural cry that was so like, I'd never even heard it.
You had a break.
Right.
And they came to me, all of them, like on a ball around me. And I was just like crying. And then they were all crying. Oh, and we were just, it's so tender, but we were all just bawling.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But they were just with me in that.
Right.
And
they were letting you be you.
And they probably needed it too. I'm sure they needed it.
They were letting me be me. And they were, I was modeling for them vulnerability and how to let it flow. And they all had step two for what was going on. And we all just wept together. They helped me. And that hasn't happened before or after.
Yeah.
But it was that moment of, like you're saying, and I'm so glad you gave that example. It's that moment of not I'm failing so much. We're trying our best.
Sure.
But it's like, I'm trying so hard. I'm so tired.
Right.
But there we are too. And it was just this vulnerable space that I created in the moment without meaning to, but just by being really who I was in the moment.
Right.
Not trying to be mom.
Right.
Or trying to put on a brave face.
Yeah. Or giving excuses to how to fix it. Just
it's
what you've been saying. You're just sitting in that moment and embracing that moment.
And not apologizing.
Yeah. And it's okay not to have the answer.
Yeah, and so often we're like this. Things are okay. Stop crying.
Yeah.
This and that.
I got it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Cry your ass off until you feel done, kid.
Yeah.
And me too.
Okay, so that was beautiful.
Thank you for bringing me to that moment.
Yeah.
And what was your most epic fail moment?
You know, I think my most epic fail, I think doing things for my kids instead of letting them do their stuff was my most epic fail.
Yeah.
My oldest one who had the most struggles, I did everything and I felt like I carried him around on a platter to doctors, schools, this, friendships, trying to find. And then when his time was 13, I couldn't hold it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know who the hell he was because I carried him.
Right.
So I think my epic fail was trying to do too much.
Sure.
Doing their things for them and not letting them be, you know, who they are.
Right.
It's like that same thing in this transition period while they're going off out of our house. You've done so much for them. It's like now just to be gentle with myself.
Right.
And you guys to be gentle with yourselves as they're going. But I did give my all.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my heart and everything, right? And there they're going. Now, how can I give that to myself?
And that's a full sort of that conversation that we just had.
Exactly.
Because that's how we started. With you saying, be gentle with yourself.
Right.
Yeah, so, all of this time when they go.
Yeah.
And
I feel so much lighter. I honestly
do. I was going to say, I'm honoring this time.
I am.
This was awesome.
Yeah,
this is a part of our journey. Thank you so much for being a part of it.
I'm so glad that I was here.
Yes, and you have to come back.
I'm coming back.
I'm so happy to be back.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Love it.
Want to
have a cigarette?
Well, I asked on the floor.
Oh,
sorry. Well, please drop
it. We have people to clean that up.
It's okay. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you, Lee Kechter,
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Lovely.
Next time.
Oh, follow me on Instagram.
Oh, yes, yes. Where? Please.
At Lee Kechner, L-E-I-G-H-K-O-E-C-H-N-E-R. And I have a lot of parenting tips and things to help you feel
good. Yay. On Instagram?
Yes.
Instagram.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody. Next time.
And you're having nothing left to do.